Why, do it like they did in the book of Acts. You know, wrap you up in the sheet and take you out there and dig a hole and throw you in it. You know, I don't have to have a funeral. You know, just I don't want to die like that guy did and sin to God. You know, I don't want to be lying about my money whenever I get killed and they have to bury me, but it don't make any difference to me. When I die, you wrap me up a sheet and somebody go out there and dig a hole with my backhoe and throw me in that sucker and cover me up and walk off. I don't care. You know, God will know where my bones are if he wants them. Otherwise, it don't make any difference. I could care less because I ain't going to be there. But if I could obey God and please him, he would translate me. That would be nice. I don't know many people that do that today. Do you, Terry? I don't know any, in fact. Yeah, I hadn't seen one yet. He's the only one I know. But maybe this is the problem. He pleased God, but look what it says in verse 6. But without faith it is to do what? So if you ain't got faith, you think the chances are going to be very good you get translated? No, not at all. But you know, most people don't even talk about being translated. They don't even know what the word means. We don't know what the word translated means. You never hear it taught. We don't even think about this. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. And I hear so many people say, well, you know, I don't know whether it's God's will to heal me or to, you know, to do this for me or whatever. Well, if you don't know what his will is, then you can't please him. And what do you think he's going to do for you without faith? Nothing. That's exactly what he said, isn't it, Tom? Without faith. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith. Now I want to go to Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Galatians 3, 1. And we'll just go right down through the chapter. Galatians 3, 1. And you can use the NLT if you want to. It'll be okay. Or we can use that one. Don't make any difference. If we use this one, oh foolish Galatians, what magician has cast an evil spell on you? For you used to see the meaning of Jesus Christ's death as clearly as though I had shown you a signboard with a picture of Christ dying on the cross. Now that's the way it should be. You should see that picture that Jesus died for you. And every time you look in your spiritual eyes, you should see what he done for you. That's what I should see. That should be burned into my memory circuits that he died on the cross to pay the price for sin so I run from sin. That he died on the cross for me that I could be healed regardless of what it is. So I should make sure I am submitted to God, and if anything tries to come up on my flesh, I should make sure I'm submitted to God and I resist the devil and he will flee from me and then I can be well. I don't have to give up. But that's what most of us do. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by keeping the law? Of course not. For the Holy Spirit came upon you only after you believed the message you heard about Christ. How did you receive that message? By what? Faith. You received it by faith. Whenever you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, did he appear before you and say, "Hi, Tom, here I am, I'm Jesus." Did you see him?
Not visibly, no.
No, I didn't either. Now, I've heard people say they have seen him. Is there anybody in this room today that has ever physically seen Jesus? Not one of us. Not one of us. Okay. Not someone, single one of us. So then how can we be saved? Okay, in a vision. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's in a vision. That's fantastic. But how, if we have never seen him, then how can we receive something we've never seen as our Lord and Savior? Where did you get that faith? Probably, or you went to church and heard somebody talk about him, right? And you believed the book. And you believed that Jesus did what he said he done. But I've never seen him. I've never seen him. But I believe he did what he said he did, don't you, Tom? Absolutely. Verse 3 and 4. Have you lost your senses? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? So many of us start out by faith, and then we lose our way. We forget what faith is. Or we had just enough faith to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then after that, I can go only relate in my own life as a Baptist, Southern Baptist Christian. I could not have faith for healing because it had never been taught me that Jesus was my healer. You know what I mean, right, Lucky? Yeah. I could not receive Jesus as my personal healer. Nobody ever taught it to me. I didn't know He was a healer. I mean, I went to a Baptist, Southern Baptist church all of my life and did not know that Jesus was my personal healer. Nobody ever taught it. Not one single time. Now, I heard the gospel message about He died on the cross for my sins every Sunday. So was it easy for me to have faith for that? Why could I have faith for that so easily? Heard it every Sunday. Every Sunday. But when I got sick, guess where I went? To the doctor. Absolutely. I was no such thing as me praying in faith, believing it was mine. I didn't know this because it had not been taught to me. It says, Paul says, you have suffered so much for the good news. Surely it was not in vain, was it? Are you now going to just throw it all away? I think that's what most of us have done. So many of us have thrown away the gospel. Let's go to 5 and 6. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Does He? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Okay, now what did He say? I ask you, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law of Moses? Now, how many churches have I been a member of in my life and I never even knew there was such a thing as working in miracles? I hope you weren't like me and you went to church 20, 30, 40 years and never saw a miracle. But that's where I lived. I never saw one. I didn't know. The preacher, all the preachers of all the Southern Baptist churches I ever went to, I never saw one time a miracle in a Baptist church. Never. But I never saw one in a Catholic church either. Never saw one in a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church either. So, what, honey? Or Episcopal church. So what's wrong with the church? Unbelief. Boy, it's eat us up, hasn't it? It's amazing. And it's amazing that, I mean, sometimes you go into church and it's just amazing. You'll go up and you'll see somebody sick. And he comes in and he ain't feeling good. You say, brother, let me lay hands on you and pray for you. And he starts doing this. I don't believe that stuff. Yeah, have you ever seen people do that? In church? These are Christians. You're trying to pray for them. And they, get away from me. I don't believe that stuff. Yeah. But yet, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I go to church every Sunday. What kind of church do you go to? Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, you name it. But don't come on and pray for me, because I don't believe that stuff. Is that a sad thing? I wonder what Paul would be telling us today. Basically, he's telling us the same thing he's telling the church of Galatia. I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you? Well, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit hardly in the Baptist church. I didn't know there was any miracles, so I guess I didn't get it. Among you because you obey the law of Moses? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. What message did you hear? You obviously heard the wrong message. In the same way, Abraham believed God, so God declared him righteous because of his faith. Now, here's the way it worked with Abraham. God spoke to Abraham one day and said, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. I want you to leave all your family, and I want you to go that direction. Abraham said, where are we going? He said, you just do what I tell you. Just go, and I'll show you when you get there. You know, now, if somebody tells me just get out there on the interstate and start driving north, I kind of want to know where I'm going. You understand where I'm coming from? I want to know what is involved here. Where am I going? I need a little planning here. But with God, that's not the way He does business. Just get on the road and start. I'll make it happen. So Abraham left. And he did that by faith, didn't he? You know. And then, of course, you know, God came to him one day and said, you know, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. You're going to have multitudes of children. Oh, wow, good. My beautiful wife and I, we've never had any children. Lord, I'm ready to have them. So years and years and years and years and years go by, and now then she's 90 and he's nearly 100. And the angel comes by and says, you know, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. What did Sarah do? That'd be kind of like telling Cheryl she's going to have a baby next year. She'd probably laugh too. You know, we don't believe that something can happen to us after we pass the normal things in life. You know, the average woman, when she gets past 40 or 50, it's just common thing that the average woman can't have children no more. Most women, when they pass 50, some of them go up to 55, but rarely do you see a woman that's 60 years old that could even think about having a child. Her body has changed, and it's impossible for her to have children. But by faith, Abraham believed God. So God declared him righteous because of his faith. Verse 7 and 8. The real children of Abraham, then, are all those who put their faith in God. That's supposed to be talking about us. What's more, the Scripture looked forward to this time when God would accept the Gentiles, too, that's definitely us, on the basis of their faith. That's how you and I got into the kingdom. When we accepted Jesus Christ by faith, we became children of God. God promised this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. If God says it, it's going to come to pass. It can't fail. If he says it, verse 9 and 10. And so it is, all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Now then, if we are walking in faith, the blessings of Abraham are supposed to belong to us. Now the Abrahamic covenant is summarized clearly in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Now, if you don't know those scriptures, I'm not going to go there and talk about those today, but if you don't know those scriptures, you need to meditate on your covenant. In Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, those blessings that God promised to Abraham there belongs to you because you're a child of Abraham. But there's one thing that we miss in those, and this is it. If you obey me.
That's what he said.
Oh, that's what he said, isn't it, Terry?
Yes, sir.
If you obey me, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Faith Pleases God, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.